This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. I am thrilled to be with you today. I certainly am. It's a Monday, and it's the Monday of Thanksgiving week, and I hope that already you are giving praise and glory to God for the great gift of life that we have and for this opportunity to live in this country here in the United States of America and wherever it is that you are. Whatever your country is, give thanks and praise to God for the benefits that come by way of the culture. Even when the culture needs correcting, right? We've got so much to be grateful for and so much to thank God for. Most importantly, the gift of life. Secondly, of course, for family and friends, you know. Third of all, for the way in which we can be those instruments of salvation in the lives of others. What a great holy mission we have. But it all begins with praising and thanking God, right? That is the greatest gift of all, the fact that He has called us into union with Him by way of our baptism. What a great gift. You know, I was thinking about that this morning as I was sitting in prayer, and I'll share with you about that in a little bit. First of all, I want to give you the number that you can call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us right here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love to have holy conversation with you. Indeed, we do. So pick up the phone, give us a buzzeroo. Let's spend some chit-chat time together here on the air. Women of Grace Live is the program. I am Johnette Williams, your host. And that toll-free number for you here in North America is 833-288-EWTN. You can also reach us by texting us. And here is the text number for you. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. That's EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Put in your question or comment. Be sure to tell us who you are, where you are, and how you are listening. And do know that message and data rates may apply if you choose that option. Another option that you can use is EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and or Facebook page. Both of those sites have chat features there. We encourage you to use that chat feature to put in your question or comment. We will get that retrieved and up on the board. We enjoy doing that, and we enjoy hearing from you. Pedro Quiles is out there, and guess what he's doing? He's doing the retrieving. Yep, he is the golden retriever, and he gets your questions and comments up on the air. Matthew Gabensky is the call screener extraordinaire. He's going to take your call if you use our toll-free number, 833-288-EWTN, or if you call us from outside of North America. That number is country code 1-205-271-2985. Those are all of the ways that you can get in touch with us while we are on the air. But we've got ways that you can reach out to us too when we're not on the air. And one of those is through our listener comment line. And I love to get the questions that you leave there. You can leave them 24/7. And then we do have days when all we do is to take those listener comment line questions or comments. And I enjoy that because I dig pretty deep into those questions on those days. So I invite you to use this option too. The way that you access that number is through these numbers. It is 1-205-795-5773. That's country code 1-205-795-5773. Now, yet another way that you can contact us, I'm telling you, we are abundantly available to you, is by emailing us. You can email your question or comment to us. And on those same days when we take the listener comment calls, we'll mix them in. And it'll be just a grand old time together. That way that you can reach us is through this email address, Women of Grace, all one word, plural on the women, Women of Grace at EWTN.com. That's Women of Grace at EWTN.com. So all of those ways are ways that you can join us, sometimes in real time, sometimes in a time coming up in the future, but nonetheless, they're all available to you. We are looking forward to your calls today, 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. And be sure to use that number. You know, we're always doing different kinds of things at Women of Grace. And, you know, we are, I guess you would say a pretty vibrant apostolate. We always have something going on. And we love that because we want to keep everyone engaged in their faith. And, you know, our Women of Grace apostolate is geared towards women. However, our Women of Grace television program, as I always say, real men listen to and watch Women of Grace. And I can't tell you how many times real men come up to me and they tell me that they listen to Women of Grace live. And so I so enjoy that. Or they watch it. You know, we've got a television program there on EWTN television at 1 p.m. Monday through Friday. So that's Eastern time, of course. But you can always access it there and watch us. But I'm inviting you to get out to our website. We've got all kinds of wonderful things that are happening. I was just in Belton, Texas over the weekend. Jack and I were both there. I'm going to tell you about that too. But I am going to be in Florida this coming month in December, which is going to be here in a heartbeat. You know that, of course. I mean, this is like the last, really, this is the last full week in November. Next Sunday, of course, is November the 30th. And that's the first Sunday of Advent. I hope you're getting your Advent wreaths out. Note to self, get your Advent wreath out. And, you know, that then this month is over, and then we are into December. So we are going to be very, very soon in Viera, Florida, at St. John the Evangelist, a Catholic church. I am so eager for this event. The people there have been working very, very hard on pulling this event together. I understand it's a very vibrant Catholic community. I'm very eager to meet all of the good people at St. John the Evangelist Catholic Church in Viera, Florida. It all kicks off on Sunday afternoon with a women's conference. I'm going to be presenting to the women of St. John the Evangelist and all of the guests who are coming. Now, I have it on very good authority, my daughter Thea, who lives on the east coast of Florida, that lots of our Women of Grace ladies are planning to attend, and I am applauding that. Yay, ladies. Let's all show up. It is open to the public. This beautiful, beautiful women's conference is the theme that excites me. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. It is perfect. It's perfect, perfect, perfect. As we move through the Advent season, all with efforts of love and adoration of our Lord, preparing for Christmas Day, his birthday, prepare ye the way of the Lord is the theme. So I'll have a very special message for the women that come to the St. John the Evangelist Women's Conference. That is Sunday, December the 7th. Mark that date, Sunday, December the 7th, a very important day in the history of this nation. Sunday, December the 7th. So I'm encouraging you to join us there. We'll be presenting to the ladies. And then that evening, and I'm hoping all of the Women of Grace that are traveling and all of you that are coming in from other parts are going to stay for the Advent Parish Mission, which is also open to the public. And that theme, and we're going to be starting to explore it on Sunday evening, running through Tuesday evening, Journey of Grace, Faith, and Hope. Journey of Grace, Faith, and Hope, which happens to be the theme of St. John the Evangelist Catholic Church for this Jubilee year, which will be closing out, of course. So we are excited about this, and already the Lord is just really filling me up with the message that he wants to have delivered there. So I'm hoping you'll join us. That is Sunday evening, December the 7th, beginning at 6 p.m., running to 9 p.m., and that is, that's December the 6th, running until December the 9th. I'm reading from the wrong line there. And we are going to be gathered there at St. John the Evangelist Catholic Church in Viera, Florida. And all of the information is at our website. Just get on out there. Oh, well, it actually does start at 6 p.m. and goes to 9 p.m. So it's Sunday, December the 7th. I don't know why that date's wrong. December the 7th to the 9th. That's Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. I hope I'm not confusing you. I'm confused. So I've got it, though. I've got it down. And we're looking forward to seeing you there. We're going to be right back. Stay with us.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Jeanette Williams. I'm delighted to be with you today, and I'm looking forward to your calls. I am. 833-288-EWTN is the toll-free number for you here in North America. That's 833-288-3986. So pick up the phone, give us a call. We want to talk with you today. Additionally, you can leave a message for for us at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. The chat feature is there. We'll get it retrieved up on the board. Additionally, you can text your question. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. That's EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response and then tell us who you are, where you are, how you're listening. Know that message and data rates may apply if you use that option. All right, I've got these dates right now. So I want to reiterate, because I got myself all wound up in a ball. That happens every once in a while. So this is the beautiful, beautiful time that we're going to be spending at St. John the Evangelist Catholic Church in Vieira, Florida. And the Women's Conference is on Sunday afternoon, December the 7th. Prepare ye the way of the Lord is the theme for that lovely, lovely event. And that lovely event is beginning at 12:30 in the afternoon and running until 2:30. And we are going to have a boxed lunch as well. So we're going to feed you. I mean, this is a really good deal. So we invite you to join us for that. But in addition, I am going to be presenting the parish mission, Journey of Grace, Faith, and Hope at St. John the Evangelist Catholic Church. And this begins in the evening on December the 7th. And it is every evening up until Tuesday night. Tuesday night is the last night of this lovely event. And we are going to be joining each other right there at St. John the Evangelist Catholic Church, Sunday, December the 7th, running until Tuesday, December the 9th. And I do believe that we're gathering at 6 o'clock p.m., and this is correct, 6 o'clock p.m. It'll run for a period of time in the evening. I think it's up until 9 p.m., and it closes out Tuesday, December the 9th at 9 p.m. So it's from 6 to 9, Sunday night, Monday night, and Tuesday night. And it's going to be a wonderful event. You can come even if you're not a member of the parish. As a matter of fact, it's open to the entire community. It's open to the entire state. It's open to the entire nation. So come and join us for this marvelous opportunity. Wanted to get that straight with all of you, since I was getting myself wound up in dates, which is not really a hard thing for me to do, as it turns out. We have Christine with us, and I'm really excited. I'm going to be telling you about Belton, too, as we move through our program. But Christine is a first-time caller, and she's calling us from Albany, New York, and she's got a really good question. So I want to ring my bell for you, Christine, which I like to do for those who call in for their first time. Pax et Bonum is the way she's listening to us today. So how are you doing there, Christine?
I'm good, thank you. It's a privilege to talk to you, Jeanette. My question is, I'm raising a big family, and I feel like God is confirming in a lot of wonderful ways. My daughter, Grace and Mary, finally moved out together on their own, and I got a nice confirmation from my husband about our marriage improving. But my question is how to be a good, holy mother and wife through lots of struggle.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Christine, this is a great question. And the reason why it's a great question is twofold, really. First of all, because you're asking it. And that shows the intentionality of your heart. And it shows the desire of your heart to have a deep relationship with our Lord. And that just makes my heart leap for joy. So I'm so grateful for that. The second reason why it's a great question is because this applies to so many people. And we live in a very hurried culture. We live in a very busy culture. We live in a time where we could become distracted by more things than people were able to become distracted by in years gone by. But that really, I think, it works to our purification and sanctification if, in fact, we choose the better part, which is always that time for the Lord. So let me just assure you that your desire to spend more time in prayer with our Lord is also prayer, that desire in and of itself, that thirst for Him, that hunger for Him, shows that the Holy Spirit is very active within you. And that in and of itself, the great saints tell us and the great spiritual writers tell us that desire is already prayer, that yearning. But of course, that yearning wants to find expression. Just like when we love somebody, you know, we want to express it. We desire them, but we want to express that love for them in the ways that are appropriate to the relationship. So that being said, how is it then that we express this love with the Lord? Well, it's like we do in personal relationships. It's time. Now, I understand from the note that's on my screen here that you have 7 children. You've mentioned that I believe 2 of them, am I correct, have moved out?
Yes.
Okay. So that still leaves you with 5. Now, what are the age ranges of these children?
17 to 9-year-old twins.
Oh, okay. Great. I just wish my daughter was on the line here because she has 8 children. She has 1 that's at university, but then she's got 7 that are 12 and under. So she would be able to respond to you in a way that I can't respond to you because, first of all, I have no children at home. Second of all, I had three, which was a more manageable number. But here you are. And so obviously, I think that the best thing that you can do for yourself is to establish a daily time of prayer. And I know that's hard. I mean, I know that that is so hard, especially when your life is so busy. But even if you have to get up a half an hour earlier in the morning, I would encourage you to do that. I am not a morning person. As a matter of fact, it was so funny. Jack and I were traveling this weekend, Christine and all of you that are listening, and we saw a woman in the airport, and she had a T-shirt on, and she said, I am not a morning person. I don't like, how did she say it? I do not like morning people. As a matter of fact, I do not like morning, and I do not like people. I thought, oh my goodness, that's really quite a statement. So I'm not a morning person either. At least I've never been a morning person. But the Lord has done something which is rather remarkable. He is helping me to get up very early in the morning to spend time with Him. And it is sometimes a struggle, more days, you know, than other days. It's a struggle. But I would encourage you to do that because that sets off the day. And I would encourage you to do this. I would encourage you to just pray a morning offering in bed before you even get out of bed. Just say, you know, make the sign of the cross and say, "Dear Lord, you know, I offer you this day. Please take all of my joys, all of my sufferings, everything that I do as an oblation to you," right? And even in that, we're starting the day on the best foot that we can. And that is offering that day to the Lord. So I would suggest that if it's at all possible, when you drop the kids off at school, to attend a daily mass, that would be a good thing. I know that my daughter strives to do that every day. It works out very conveniently. She drops the kids off at school and the mass begins in the parish church there right away. So that makes it easy. If there is a facility for you to do that, I would do that. But through the day, and this is my really, I think, best suggestion on top of everything else that I've offered here. And that is that through the day, just stop and thank the Lord. Just stop. I mean, set your watch or, you know, whatever you need to do, you know, to remind you to just take a pause and get into the habit of praising the Lord in all things. And that's what St. Paul tells us. He says, praise the Lord always. And that's just a lifting of the heart and the mind to God through the course of the day. And in that way, there's this beautiful expression of your love for God, and you're really beginning to set up, you know, a holy habit. You're beginning, and you know, really, when we're making a habit, and especially if it's praise of the Lord, we're actually, our biochemistry changes in our body. And this is scientific fact. It changes in our body. We create new neural pathways, and there is a facility then for moving into that through the course of the day. So I would encourage you, and especially in those moments when you're particularly hurried. I remember something that St. Teresa of Calcutta said. She said, you know, she said that she begins every day with prayer, and if it's going to be a busy day, she spends additional time in prayer. So like she would spend 4 hours in prayer, but if it was going to be a busy day, she would spend more than 4 hours in prayer. That's quite remarkable. You know, now she is a religious sister. She doesn't have children. She doesn't have the obligations of a household, but she sure did have a whole lot of corporal works of mercy that she was performing, as well as spiritual works of mercy through the course of that time. And she did have an order of religious sisters that needed to be managed. So maybe in some ways her life was even busier. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, you know, and I this is a discipline that I strive for in my life. Have I achieved it yet perfectly? No. Am I working towards a strive? Am I working towards, you know, accommodating this perfectly? I'm trying to force myself. If I know I have a lot, I'm trying to really die to self and spend a little extra time in prayer, or to take an additional few moments of prayer, 15 minutes maybe, you know, to do that. And I have discovered this, and this sounds very peculiar, but it's very true. God will expand the time. As a matter of fact, I've been praying to one particular saint, asking for this saint to expand the time, to please intercede to expand the time, because I've got too much to do and can't get it done. Expand the time. And I find that when I am intentional about striving to spend that little extra time, I'm not talking about an extra hour or two. I'm just talking about maybe an extra 10 minutes. We have to work with ourselves in incremental measures or through the course of the day to just say, okay, now look, before I begin this task, I'm just going to take 5 minutes with the Lord. I'm just going to spend time with Him. And I'm going to just ask Him to imbue this time with His Holy Spirit and to increase my capacity to cooperate with the way in which the Holy Spirit is leading me. And I'll take that time. It can be through formal prayer, that we know, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. We can pray the Hail Mary, the Our Father, glory be. That's nice. Or we can just sit there and be very present to the fact that God is very present to us. All of the grace that we need is in that present moment. And practicing this real beautiful spiritual, I want to say exercise, and I don't like that word for it, but this real spiritual acknowledgement maybe is better, that God is right here. And now, God, I'm just going to picture you. And I'll tell you how I like to picture Him, Christine. I like to picture Him in the way in which He's left us to picture Him. And, we have all of the great art, of course, which is beautiful. And that's very helpful, too, sometimes, especially the Passion. Those images of our Lord, I think, are just they can excite our faith. But I like to picture Him in the way in which He's made Himself known to us. The way that He left Himself for us to know Him. And I just like to picture Him in His Eucharistic presence. It's become very important to me in my life of prayer, that Eucharistic presence, just sitting there, picturing the host. Maybe picture the priest elevating the host at the last Mass I attended and just gazing at body, blood, soul, and divinity, just gazing. Or maybe the last time I was in adoration, just gazing at body, blood, soul, and divinity in the monstrance and just sitting there with that, just holding that mental image as a means of acknowledging that He is present to me right now. He is present right now, absolutely present. And just sit like that for a couple of minutes and then move on to the next task. Obviously the regular dues, do go to confession on a regular basis once a month, minimum. Do try to pull that time in the morning. Do ask Our Lady to help you. She knows, and she'll be there. Does this help you at all?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's see what the Lord does. But already He's so actively engaged in you. He is, because you desire to spend the time with Him. And that's so beautiful, Christine.
God, thank you.
You're so welcome. You make my eyes cry. God bless you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Okay, so here was what was on the t-shirt. I don't like morning people or mornings. People. That about sums it up. That would make me feel like a pickle. I don't know. All sour and stuff. Anyway, 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us. That's 833-288-EWTN. Get out there to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel or Facebook page and use that chat feature. We want to talk with you today. I'm just interiorly so filled by Christine's question. I just love it so much. And maybe we'll talk a little bit more about that after the break. We've got a couple of minutes before then, though, so we can get you on the air or get you up at least for me to talk with you after the break. You can also text us, text the letters EWTN to 58177. That's EWTN to 58177. Well, I got to tell you, I was in Belton, Texas with my husband, Jack, over the weekend. It was wonderful. It's outside of Austin. For those of you in the military, many of you know that Fort Hood is there. And we just were with a beautiful gathering of people, just a marvelous gathering of people. And we enjoyed them so much. We were there Saturday evening at Christ the King Catholic Catholic Church, a beautiful, beautiful event. It was a fundraising banquet, and boy, the people really showed up, and they turned out, and they did a beautiful, I think, thing for Armor of God Catholic Radio. And I enjoyed meeting so very many of you. So if you're listening today, you know, I've taken you home with me in my heart, and I, you know, was lifting up praise and thanksgiving to God for all of you this morning. And I want to tell you, it was just a lovely opportunity to get to meet people. I met two people from my hometown of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. One fellow, Ross, from Upper St. Clair. He went to school 2 years there. And then Leona, I met Leona, and golly, we had a hug because she grew up in Braddock, which is where I went to high school. And so, you know, I was throwing out names of places right there in Braddock, at least the time period that I was in Braddock. And of course, she knew all of them. So that was a real treat. That was just like those were little kisses from heaven saying, see, I know where you are right now. And that was just a lovely, lovely thing. But everybody that I met was just so gracious and so kind. And Christ the King Catholic Church is a marvelous, marvelous church, marvelous church hall, really beautiful. And a beautiful grotto to our Blessed Mother, Our Lady of Grace. The statue is quite large, stained glass on each side of it that lights up at night. Just a beautiful, beautiful setting for private prayer. So I would encourage you, if you're in that area, to pop on over there and to take a look and to really enjoy all that Father has done there. It's just lovely. So I want to thank, of course, I want to thank Anne, and I want to thank Tom McNew for inviting me to speak there. They are the ones who started Armor of God Catholic Radio. And it's always a good reminder for me to share with all of you how important it is to support your affiliates. You know, when they have a fundraising event, please turn out for it. But they also need your sustaining gifts on a monthly recurring basis. So please do remember to tuck them between your electric bill and your gas bill, as Mother Angelica would say, right? Because you keep them on the air, and their outreach is so very, very important. And that was evident by the people that were there, evident every time I go out to speak for an event like this for Catholic Radio, how important Catholic Radio is to them in their walk of faith. I heard so many beautiful stories. We're going to be right back, 833-288-EWTN. Stay with us.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Janet Williams. I'm thrilled to be with you today. I certainly am. Looking forward to hearing from you. And I'm going to give you a toll-free number that you can use if you're in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us right here on Women of Grace Live. And you know we love having that holy conversation with you. I tell you that all of the time because it's oh so true. So please do give us a call, 833-288-3986. I'm also encouraging you to use YouTube or Facebook. EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page are available for you. The chat feature that's there is there for you to communicate with us. And so put in your question or comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. Do tell us who you are and how you're listening. If it's not that way, tell us where you are too. And we'll take your question or comment on the air. We've got one out there already, and I'm going to be getting to Cynthia's question in just a moment. Additionally, we're available to you by texting. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. That's EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Put in your question or comment. Do know that message and data rates may apply. Oh, and don't forget to tell us who you are and where you are and how you're listening. All of that information is so very helpful for us on this side of the mic. So please do give us that info. We have Gail with us. Gail is in Kent County, Michigan, listening to us via Holy Family Radio. And I'm so happy she's with us. Good morning to you, Gail.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
I'm dandy. How are you doing?
Great. Listen, I have a praise report. I really have prayer requests, but I have to give praise first. I became a Catholic a few years ago. I have a family who's not Catholic, obviously, and don't really know that I'd become a Catholic. But the Lord has arranged for a Catholic priest to visit my father now that he's wheelchair-bound. Oh. And my mother and my father have developed a relationship with this priest. And my mother and my father, who have not been to church since before COVID, are now expressing interest to go to that Catholic church specifically when that priest is there.
Gail,
and
this
I'm
is
so
amazing.
Grateful for our priests.
Oh my heavens. Now is this my Gail? Is this Gail that I know?
It is.
I thought it was. Well, I can't tell you how excited I am about this. And if I can just tell a little bit of the backstory, do you mind if I tell a little bit of the backstory?
Go for it.
Okay. So I met Gail some years ago, not too many years ago, a couple of years back maybe. And she was in the process of coming into the church, and Women of Grace played a part in all of that. And I met her at a conference, maybe two conferences. I mean, because I've seen you in Pittsburgh, I've seen you in Malvern a couple of different times. And she was making her way in. And I remember when Gail actually came into the church, and it was a great celebration. And we talked about it here on the air. She called in. But as Gail has shared with us, even in this phone call, her family members really don't know that this conversion has happened. But, you know, I just have chills, Gail, because, you know, I just, oh my gosh, you know, the ways of the Lord are incomparable and they're incomprehensible. We cannot understand them, and nothing compares to them. It's absolutely amazing. And here you are, you come into the church. I know you've been praying for your family. And how does the Lord work this out? I mean, you know, it's almost as if, and the picture that I'm getting in my mind is that, you know, you are just this conduit. And even without people knowing of your conversion, there is this grace, you know, it's the life of God that's streaming through you into the family setting. And then, you know, I mean, it's an efficacious grace. And we know that because look at what's happening here. I mean, you know, this is totally incredible. That is an amazing praise report. And we're all going to pray that this whole process comes to fruition. It's well on its way. The fact that your parents were not resistant to this Catholic priest coming, and the fact that they've developed a relationship and now they're expressing a desire to attend Mass when he is there, oh my heaven's sakes, we can just see the hand of the Lord all over this. And it was his hand on you and your fiat to his hand being on you and your yes to him that has opened this door. Gail, I'm so excited. I'm so excited.
There's even more.
Oh, good, good.
So
tell us.
What's amazing is as I was coming into the church, you know, Our Lady talks about the power of family prayer. And if you don't have peace in your own house, how are you going to have it in the world, basically?
Yes.
So years ago, a number of years ago, I started saying, let's just pray together a prayer at night. And so the easiest thing that I could find and think of was the Our Father. So every single night we get together and the three of us pray in Our Father. Now, my father's wheelchair bound, and it's not a pleasant situation. And my mother is in her mid-80s, and she's caring for him, and she just had spinal surgery. So things are very challenging. And then all of a sudden, I felt like, okay, now we need to start reading the Psalms. So in the last 6 months, my mother and I get together every night and reread some Psalms, and we've gone through the Psalms. And then now, just in the last few weeks, I just kept getting this thing, like, you need to start reading the Gospel. So, and now you have to realize, since I was a little girl, we have not read the Bible in the home because my father became angry one night because we weren't listening, and he said, we won't be doing this anymore. So the Bible has not been read in the home. So I chose my mother's Protestant Bible because I knew it had meaning for her. And we are now, we just started the book of Mark. And for the last about 2 weeks, we read a little bit out of the book of Mark. We do a psalm, and then we do an Our Father. And now what's being added to it is I'm asking my mother, just like you do in the daily readings, I ask my mother, okay, now, as we read this, tell me what comes to you as we read this particular set of verses. So she's telling me what she's seen in these verses, and I'm realizing the Lord is using me.
Yes, he is, Gail. He's abundantly using you. You're teaching your mother Lectio Divina.
And my mother, in the last 2 years, has become a complete student of redemptive suffering because of what we've had to go through with my father. And she now offers it up, and she will now be the first one to say, you know, so-and-so is having a good weekend this weekend because there's so much suffering, and she's offering it up to this particular person. So it's just all these little steps are taking place. And when you see them cumulatively, it's astounding.
It's astounding. Well, you know, the thing of it is, without her knowing it, well, first of all, I think without her knowing it, she is really Catholic. So there's that. And the reason why I say that is because, you know, the only Christian religion, the only religion, period, 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 the only religion that we have that has a theology of suffering is the Catholic Church. So we understand redemptive suffering. That is a foreign concept to the majority of Protestants. It is definitely a foreign concept to a Hindu or to a Buddhist. But we understand suffering. Suffering is not something to escape. We ask, obviously, for healing. But what I mean by escape is we don't want to nullify suffering in the sense that it has no purpose or no meaning. It has great purpose and great value when we attach it to the sufferings of Christ. And so that is such a Catholic perspective. And the fact that your mother is operating in that perspective, your mother is operating in that great treasure of grace that's available through union of our suffering with the union of Christ's suffering, you know, the full meaning of Colossians 1:24, for I make up in my own flesh what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ for the sake of his body, the church. We understand that in that sense. That is quite amazing. So that is just absolutely beautiful and absolutely wonderful. So I think that yes, indeed, you are a secondary instrument in various ways, just in the flow of grace that's coming through you into the household because you're praying, also through your beautiful actions of charity and of love towards your parents and being with them through this time. But now God is actually using you as instructor, as teacher. They are there. They just have to walk over the very thin line. And you know how thin that line is because you've walked over it. And what is that thin line I'm referring to? And that is to absolute conversion. And it's going to be so beautiful for them. And I hope they achieve that. I hope they achieve that, in the short term so that they have time left in their natural lives to enter more deeply into that beautiful gift of faith that God wants them to know. But you also said that you had a prayer. You wanted a prayer. So go ahead, share with us.
Well, I think there's so many people that are praying. I'm a student of St. Teresa of Lisieux, and I read the book by Sue Brinkman, The Day by Day, which is just absolutely, if I had to recommend a book, I'd recommend that book because I learned something in just a few short paragraphs every day from that Day by Day with St. Teresa of Lisieux book by Sue Brinkman. But I am recovering from a brain infection. I now have two parents that have medical situations in their mid-80s, and I have a very stressful job situation. And I have nights that are like torture in terms of the quality of sleep and how much sleep I'm able to get. And I need to be able to continue this ministry to them. And so I'm begging for prayers. I'm begging for them and for their conversion. And there are just big things going on in my family, and I would just appreciate any prayers that your viewers can offer.
Okay. Well, let's just pray for Gail, everybody. So we're going to gather together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so, Father God, we just come before you in this moment. And, you know, as I begin this prayer, Lord, I just want to give you praise and thanksgiving for Gail. I want to thank you, Lord, how quickly you have brought her along in the faith. I want to thank you, Lord God, for how quickly she has become a person with a deep interior life, how quickly she has learned the ways that you operate in our lives and how to plumb the depths of those ways. I want to thank you, Lord, for all that you have done in her and all that you're doing through her, especially in reference to her parents. And Father, what a beautiful heart your daughter has. Oh my goodness, she has such a Marian heart. She has such a big heart. She has a heart that only desires to do your will, only desires to surrender to your will, and only the desire to bring your will forth through her actions. And so it is that I ask, Father, that as she continues along her way here, nurturing her parents in the faith, isn't this beautiful, Lord, when the child becomes the parent? And I mean that in the most beautiful of ways, when the child is able to bring a parent into fuller knowledge of you. I'm just asking, Lord, that you would sustain her, that every gift and spiritual blessing that she needs, Lord, now would flow into her, that you would fortify her and strengthen her in all of the ways in which she needs that fortification and strength. I'm thinking particularly, Lord, of this brain infection. Father God, you are the master of all things, and you are the master of infection. And so I'm going to ask now, Lord, that through the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father God, that this brain infection would be completely healed, and that all residual effects of this brain infection would be remedied, that they would take flight. Residual effects take flight in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord God, that you give your daughter Gail new vitality. I pray, Lord, that she's working on your energy measurement. I'm praying that she's working on the life of the Holy Spirit, this infinitude of divine and holy life that does energize us for your things and energize us in doing your things. I pray, Father God, that the hunger and the thirst that is being exemplified by her parents' interest in the faith would increase within them, and that they would walk that thin line. I pray, Lord, that they are able to get to the holy sacrifice of the Mass. I pray that, and I'm going to pray this. This is coming into my mind right now too, Gail. I'm going to pray, Lord God, that you would bring holy helpers to Gail. I'm asking that you would bring holy helpers, not just helpers, but holy helpers to Gail, who would be able to participate in relieving some of the duties, especially as she strives to make the way possible for her parents to get to Mass. I'm praying that there will be holy helpers that will come and will aid her and will be at the ready for her. Father, I thank you for this daughter of yours. I thank you, Father God, for the way in which you are using her as evangelist in her own home. Oh my goodness, Lord, you are so amazing. And I want to just incorporate, Gail, into this prayer all of those who are caregivers for their parents right now, all of those who are caregiving parents, and also all of those who are caregiving adult children. I was in a military community this past weekend, and I want to lift up all of those who are caregiving their sons and their daughters who have been through war and have come home with the ravages of war, especially those who are struggling in a mental way with the ravages of war, and especially also those who are struggling within an incapacitated way, or the parent is providing for all of the physical needs of adult children. I pray this for all of those who are in this position of caregiving right now. And just as Gail has been a conduit of grace in the lives of her parents, I ask that these caregiving individuals would be a conduit of grace in the lives of their children. Father God, we know that we cannot measure your movement by physical health or physical strength, or mental health or mental strength. It can only be measured by the strength of the spirit and the strength of the heart. And so I'm praying, Father God, that your grace would fortify and strengthen all of those who need to be fortified and strengthened. But for your daughter, Gail, that this would make itself manifest in a physical way that she might be able to continue to do what it is that she's doing. I thank you for Gail, Lord. I thank you so much. I thank you for bringing her into my life personally. And I thank you for bringing her into the life of Women of Grace through our program and through our events. It's just been a beautiful, beautiful benefit. And so it is, Father, that we offer you this prayer in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. Amen. Oh, Gail, you will keep in touch with us, won't you, honey?
Of course. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That's Gail. Thank you, Gail. It's wonderful catching up with you. And I'm tucking you in. You know that, right?
I do. Thank you. And God bless all of the listeners, too.
Thanks, Gail. Bye-bye now. Oh, gracious. We've had two beautiful calls today. And here we've got a beautiful message from Cynthia out on YouTube that I want to get to, too. She says, is it okay for Catholics to attend ecumenical events? Would you please explain a little about what ecumenical means? Thank you. Well, Gail, thank you. So, you know, I looked up ecumenical and I looked it up from a Catholic perspective because it is a good question to ask. We all have a different idea of what ecumenical means. And so in the Catholic sense, it holds two meanings. So the first concept is the ecumenical movement, which is the promotion of unity among all Christians. And it also has a meaning specific to our Catholic faith in the sense of what we do, and that's an ecumenical council, which is a council of all the world's bishops who come together to address situations and circumstance matters that pertain to the universal truth. So the movement itself, the ecumenical movement, which was really something that came into the forefront, I would say, through John the 23rd, now saint, is a desire for there to be one church, which is what Jesus Christ prayed for. And you'll remember this. He prayed this right before his passion. He prayed for unity among the members. And that also tells us that Jesus knew that there would be a split. And there is a split, and that split, first of all, took place in Constantinople under Constantine. The Eastern Orthodox Church is split from the Catholic Church. We do have Eastern rites in our church that are still united to the Pope in Rome. Eastern Orthodox took itself out of that jurisdiction, if you will, of the Holy Father. But then we also had the split that occurred in the 1500s with Martin Luther and the beginning of Protestantism. And so what the church desires is what Jesus desires, that everybody would come back to the one church, the church that Jesus Christ founded. You know, he says, you are Peter. The moment that he's changing Simon's name to Peter, he says, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. He doesn't say, and upon this rock I will write a book. He said, upon this rock I will found my church, right? And so that being said, this is the church that Jesus Christ founded. The Catholic Church dates all the way back to that moment. And so we have never deviated from that. And anything that splits off is a denomination. The Catholic Church is not a denomination. A denomination is something that splits from the whole. And it's always smaller than the whole. Think about that in reference to math. Makes sense, right? So the Catholic Church is the church of Jesus Christ. It is the church that Jesus Christ founded. Everything else is a diminishing of that church. So the ecumenical movement, especially that which was brought to bear by St. John the 23rd, is an effort to unite the churches again underneath the one church that Jesus Christ founded. Now, the other part of your question relates to, can you attend an ecumenical event? So I think that the short answer to that is yes, the church does not prohibit that. Now, when it comes to a marriage, that gets a little testier, but let's assume this is not a marriage. But here is the danger. And there is a danger associated with this, and I want to state it. The danger is that what happens oftentimes in ecumenical settings, even when it's advertised by a Protestant church that it's ecumenical, the underlying intentionality in most cases, the motivation is to save Catholics from what they consider to be the whore of Babylon, which is the Catholic Church. And so there is always a subtle and sometimes not a so subtle effort to confuse a Catholic by way of Protestant perspective of what life in Jesus Christ is all about. And so oftentimes ecumenical only runs in one direction. Ecumenical runs from the Catholic towards the Protestant, but it doesn't always run equally from the Protestant to the Catholic. There is always an effort there. And the more that we attend ecumenical events, the more we become subject to that. And we also become subject to the theology, if you want to put it that way, of Protestantism. And what is that theology? Well, anything that is authentic, anything that is true in Protestant theology has come from the Catholic Church. It's what they took from the church. But the rest of the theology, for the most part, and this is especially true in evangelical settings, especially true there, is really a counter to the Catholic faith. It's really an argument against Catholicism. It's really a preaching against the truths of the faith. Most specifically, most obviously, against our Blessed Mother and against the Eucharist. Additionally, against the whole concept of priesthood. And of calling a priest father, for example. It is a protest against, and note, I mean, isn't that the root word of Protestantism? It's protest. My late husband used to call individuals of that persuasion Protestants, because that is what it is. It's a protest. It's a protest against the church. And so it's a protest against all of the sacraments, with the exception of baptism. Now, they'll talk about communion, but it's not the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, because that can only come by way of the priesthood of holy orders. So, short answer, yes, in the case of a marriage, there's a reserve there that I don't have time to get into right now. But in the case of an ecumenical setting, I caution you when you get in the soup, you know, you begin to smell like the soup. And so I want to warn you with regard to that. So there you have it. That's the way we'll close our program today. It's been great being with you. I encourage you to get to our website, womenofgrace.com, see all of the good things that are coming up. I invite you, obviously, to join us at one of our Women of Grace events. Please join us, ladies, for our foundational studies. We have them online and in person, or any of our studies. I'll be back tomorrow with you. God bless you. Bye-bye.